Amen. All right, Titus chapter number 2. We are looking at, as it's titled, the work of women. And it's noted here in that the woman's primary ministry is family-centered. And I think that goes without stating that's the case. With that, just recognizing that's important. And I think the world puts forth a lot of confusing things to ladies today. And so just looking at it from God's perspective and why that would be a true statement, that the woman's ministry is family-centered. So we've come on down. We looked at discreet last week, and we also touched on chaste as well. And so we saw last week discreet would be to be cautious, to be controlled. I would say spirit controlled, but just careful, right? Not putting yourself in vulnerable positions or places that would not be advantageous, right? And one thing we didn't mention last week, but I will say, with the modern era that we live, and you could not leave your home and have a lot of things still enter your home, right? And so I know on social media, things like that, that can come in, as well as a lot of other venues as far as your phone and videos and, just TV, everything else. And so we just want to be careful what we allow into our home and realize that does affect. It affects us. It's an intake, right? And so it was a few years back, I was doing some study on things and found that 65, at that point, this was probably more like eight years ago, 65% of divorce filings had the keyword Facebook in them. Think of that, right? And so we used to say that, one of the dangers of a woman being in the workplace would be just that, right? Because, as perfect as a guy can be, right? He has problems. And then the devil likes to parade in front of us. The same's true for us guys with wives. As wonderful as women are, right? Y'all, every once in a while, have a couple issues. Amen. And whatever those issues are, then the devil, of course, parades someone in front of you that you don't perceive has that issue, right? Doesn't mean they don't. That's just your perception. So that whole thing, the grass is always greener, right? So what's true, it's the workplace, you're there. I mean, especially if, like, you work in the office or whatever. I mean, you're around those people. I know when I worked at ATA, some of those guys I worked around, I worked around just a bunch of guys, but some of those guys, we became very, very close as far as just knowing them. You know the problems we're going through. You're always talking about things, on and on and on. And so that closeness there does develop relationships. And so if you're in mixed company there, just the devil uses that, right? And so it's also true of social media, right? And other venues like that. It can even be true of church when we're real careful there too. And so it's just, we just want to understand. So discretion, right, helps protect us in times like that, you know? And some would say, well, you shouldn't be looking. You know what? We're all just flesh, you know? We're human, and it's just something we all deal with, you know? And so some people say, if you had a filter, you'd be protected from all those dangers out there. You know what? Filters don't protect us. You know, your heart has to be in the right spot, and you need to practice discretion. And it may include a filter, right? But if you try to block your child, if you try to block everything from bad being able to, they're going to find a way around it if they want to. It is what it is. There is no filter, no protection, no nothing that can protect somebody from something that they want to get to nowadays. There just isn't, you know? And so, are those good things potentially? Absolutely, but you have to want them in place, right? Well, they say a door lock is for the honest.
That's right.
Do you understand that statement? A door, because someone that really wants in, that door lock ain't gonna stop them. But someone that is, not meaning harm, if they find a locked door, or not meaning, not what, you know what I mean. They see a locked door, they're going to stay out, right? I remember one time we were at a couples thing, in Southern Plaza area. It was down the street from Southern Plaza. Anyway, Aaron's always said, Aaron Campbell, because he lives kind of downtown, he always says, I'd rather someone, if they're going to break into my car, I leave my car unlocked. That way they at least don't break the window. Because if they're going to get in, they're going to get in anyway, right? So, but I would say, yeah, but sometimes people just go through parking lots just trying handles, right? So not everybody is going to break your window. If you lock your car, a good number of people that are just looking for an easy opportunity, they're going to keep look to the next guy, right? Well, we were there, and someone broke into his car. Entered his car. They didn't break in because he left it unlocked. Someone entered in and stole his laptop, briefcase, whatever, it had his laptop in and all that. Man, he was so bummed. And I was like, well, at least they didn't break your window. But, you know. So, anyway. So, discretion, yes. Layer, uh-huh. Right. Yep, it's just there as a, I shouldn't be doing this, right? Locked door, same thing. So that's what discretion is. Discretion is you putting things in place that becomes a check for you. It's more for you, discretion, because people will take advantage of you if you give them the opportunity. Does that make sense? People will take from you. People will exploit people. Not everybody has your best interest in mind, right? And so discretion is just being careful. That's why it's about language that we use. It's about how we appear. It's about where we go, right? It's about everything. I go to Menards a lot, right? Especially redoing this house. I probably go there somewhere between 1 and 3 times a day, it seems like, in a week. But it's coming to a close, that rehab of the house. It's almost done, so that's a blessing. But there's this one, you meet a lot of people going through that, but there's this one gal in the one checkout line. I could tell she kind of looks Pentecostal. She always kind of has her hair up in a bun, wears a dress, whatever, or a skirt. And she's always been real standoffish. I mean, you can say hi to her or whatever, and she's just real careful. Well, Dana and I were out, and we were looking for colors and things like that, and she does a whole lot better at that stuff than me. And then we were checking out, and there's this gal. So Dana's with me in line this time, and of course, Dana strikes up a conversation with her. I'm like, this is awesome. And then every time after that I've come in there, she's been nice. Because it's like, oh, well, she knows I'm whatever, you know, we actually looked like we were enjoying ourselves. We weren't like, yeah. Anyway, so, but that's opened up a door. And so I think it was just her way of being discreet. Does that make sense? Now, it may seem like you're not nice that way, but whatever it takes, you know you, and you just want to make sure that you're discreet. Does that make sense? Any thoughts, questions on that? Yes.
Establish some boundaries, some checks, some accountabilities.
That's why you need to be real careful about saying that person shouldn't be doing that. And sometimes you can say that, but the reality is that person needs to know where their boundaries are. And I think everybody's boundaries are a little bit different in every area. Now, there are some hard, fast boundaries, but we also just need to know us, right? And be discreet in our own regard on that. So, very good stuff. Say, why is that important? Well, and this is in reference to women in this text, a woman's ministry in her home can be greatly impeded if, number one, she's distracted with other things, but then number two, if the family members perceive some things that would weaken her in their mind, right? Like, as me as a pastor, you guys by this point, kind of know me a little bit, right? And there are probably some things you would say, I know pastor would never do that, or I know this, that. I know our church is whatever. Well, that becomes a wall, if you will, of protection, right? And so that provides security for our church. Does that make sense? And so the same is true of a family. When the kids know that mom and dad are solid, right? And they're not wondering, you know, if their marriage is going rough, or if they're not wondering if dad's going to show up home tonight, or mom, or whatever, or if they're out doing things they shouldn't be doing. Oh, mom's not home. I wonder where she wonder what she's doing. Or dad, I wonder if he's at the bar again. You see what I'm saying? That creates a level of confusion and uncertainty in the home, and it really keeps the woman from being able to engage in and utilize the blessing of the home. There's a lot of value the woman gains from a strong home, right? There's a lot of value, and if she can tap into that and use that, then that'll help her in everything, right? Same thing's true of a church. There's a lot of value in a strong, stable church, right? You're not coming into church wondering, you know, I wonder if the pastor's gonna run some people off today, you know, or whatever, you know. Once you become stable, then it's like you're cohesive now. You're working together. There's a unity, and we're all kind of working towards that same goal. But when there is disgruntledness and some fractures all over the place and all that, it creates an environment that we're not progressing forward. We're just doing good if we don't kill each other when we come. And there, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of homes that way. It's a successful day if you all just made it through another day, right? And that's not God's intent. God's intent is that it's a platform. This church is to be a platform to minister from. The family is to be a platform to minister from. And if we don't follow these things, it's no longer a platform, right, to minister from. It's survival mode. But yeah.
Well, S. M. Davis, his anger series.
Oh yeah, it's good.
Tremendous. And he said, don't even try to deal with anything else until you've dealt with the anger. Mm-hmm. Don't. You're not going to.
Do you remember why he said that?
Do what?
Do you remember why he said that?
I couldn't tell you. You put me on the spot, but I. If I went back, yes, I could.
Because he said this. He said, if you only
have one blow up of anger a month, the whole family's on edge wondering when's the next one every time. So it creates an instability because they don't know when dad is going to blow up again. And he uses the volcano analogy and says, who wants to be around an active volcano that they think could blow up at any minute? Well, no one does, because everybody gets affected by that. Yeah. In everything. Right. So a woman's ministry in the home is really to maintain stability, right? The keeper of the home, you're keeping stability in that home, right? And so that's why? Because that's a platform. It's a platform for you to minister from. Amen. And so the same is true of being chaste, which is pure, holy. It's keeping impurity out. It's keeping right things in, bad things out. It's being chastened or holy, being made righteous. Does that make sense? And so that's a huge part of the woman's role in the home. For one reason, the man isn't there all the time, right? In most families, the man is out making some bread, amen? He's making some dough, some funds, or however he does that, and is working. And that's a good thing, right? But because of that, that's why Proverbs talks about basically he sets the law, and then the wife is the one that keeps that in line. She has to be the enforcer of that. They have to be seen as one, right? But she is going to have that huge component of keeping the bad out and maintaining good, right? And so that has to be embodied in our own self, before it's going to actually permeate through the children and the family. And so again, we see that there in that. So let's go ahead and move on now to the keepers, right? Proverbs 31. Go over and turn over to Proverbs 31. I did a study in Proverbs 31 a while back, and man, I've studied it numerous times, but it is such an amazing chapter because, you know, people make fun of, oh, you just want to keep a woman barefoot and pregnant and all that and to keep her in the home. And no, that's not the case. That's not the Bible's, plan. Now, definitely, family planning is of the Lord, you know, and we commit those things to Him and all the different things in the home. And so all of that we give to God, and I think that God has a lot to say about those things. But as far as the keeper of the home, I think Proverbs 31 does a really good job embodying the broad spectrum of opportunities that a woman has. And I know there's a lot of guys that have a very, very narrow view of what the purpose of a woman is. And it may just be make babies and make babies and make dinner. It may just be that and do the laundry. But I would say this, if that's a guy's view, that's a pretty pathetic view. And I don't think that's God's view, right? And there's a lot of guys that are very, very self-conscious and are, in a sense, jealous over their wife to the point that, I mean, I've heard people say, if I could put my wife in a burlap sack and keep her there, that's what I would do. I'd never let her show her face in public. I don't get it. I think it's wicked. I think it's short-sighted at best. I just do not get that comment. I don't get that mentality. My wife does so much. I couldn't be who I am for the church or anybody else if it wasn't for all that my wife does, and not just in the home, but even outside the home, in reference to our family. So I just don't understand that comment. So, but again, I don't have to, right? But what I can do is I can look at Proverbs 31 and I could say, when God showed us what we call the pinnacle of what a woman is, right? In a home, this is what He gave us. And we know, we call it the virtuous woman. She's virtuous. She's full of virtue. And it's tremendous. So Proverbs 31, beginning in verse number 10. Let's see here. Who wants to read the first five verses? Lord John, do 10 to 14.
Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands.
14.
Oh, sorry. She is like the merchant's ships, and she bringeth forth her food from afar.
Next slide. Anyone
else want to read? Brother John C. 15 through 19.
She riseth also while it is yet night, giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff.
Next slide.
She stretcheth. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, which he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girls unto the merchant.
Next slide.
I'll continue.
Go ahead.
Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
Powerful. Amen. When we look at this in verse number 10 there on who can find a virtuous woman, meaning that this is a rare thing for a woman to embody these, but I think it's possible. And I think it should be something that you should strive for. Now, I do believe the Bible also gives a picture of a virtuous man. It's just not titled the same way, but we're looking at the woman at this point. Notice what the opportunities that she has. And I'm just going to jump down just a little bit, and you can see a bunch of stuff there in reference to the home and her husband. But notice that she worketh willingly, verse number 13. Or I'm sorry, she seeketh wool, flax, worketh willingly with her hands. And then it goes on, she is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. And also in verse 31, where it talks about give her of the fruit of her hands. So based on, she is so productive. She is not just caring for the needs of her family in reference to their clothing, their food, and all that. She has abundance, overabundance, so that she can take of the extra and actually go out and trade to the point that she can go out and buy and sell lands. Do you see that? Her husband trusts her to make those financial decisions, and he gives her that leeway to do so. That's just absolutely amazing to get to that place, that she is so productive that her, see, the stability of the home is what enabled the workout and enabled her husband to sit in the gate. Because the home is stable, now they as a family, he in the gate, she working with the merchants and all, they have a ministry out. The ministry out comes after the ministry within. And if you look at the requirement of a bishop, a man that ruleth his own house well. Because if you can't rule your own house, how can you take care of the church of God? That's what it says, right? And so the home is the training ground for ministry, but it's not just a training ground. It is the platform that we work from. And if we lose that or don't have that, we have no ministry out. Because all of the effort is focused just to manage what's going on within. Does that make sense? But ultimately, I want my wife to be as much like this as possible. Amen. I want her to be able to just engage in first with the home and then out and engage in commerce and everything else so that she can be amazingly fulfilled. Notice it, it says at this one part, it says, oh man, where's it at? Oh, verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. You know what that means? She actually has a confidence now about what she's doing. It's not a pride. You feel validated. Like, I know that what you there's a level of satisfaction there that I believe most women know nothing about, because they are kept down and under instead of loosed to be everything God made them to be. Oh man, just get the people bumps all over, amen, thinking about it. But that is what this passage means when I read it, and I think it's powerful. So, keeper of the home is not keeping the woman in a cell. You know, the old joke, and our kids say it a lot, how come the stay-at-home mom is never at home? That's hilarious. Well, amen. How come my stay-at-home wife has 20,000 miles on her car this year? That's a good question. That's a really good question. Amen. But it is true. I think it's over 20. Anyway, the point is that the keeper of the home, It's just the platform. It's the beginning. And it doesn't mean you can't leave the home. Don't be leaving that home. No, it means that's where it starts. But if you can get that down, sky's the limit. And I think you see that here in this text. Does that make sense? We're out of time. So, yes. So we will meditate on that passage. We'll come back to it, and we'll grab your thoughts from that next week. I wouldn't mind hearing what you think this passage, how it can be applied to wives today, in this day that we live. Because there's a lot of ladies today doing some amazing things, especially with the online thing and all that, where they're able to share some of their amazing talents and all that, and all that, and make a good living doing as far as helping the household that way, and but it not taking away from the home, but it being evident because of the home, it being able to happen because of their first keeping the home. Amen. So anyway, I look forward to y'all's comments next week.